You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Series 7, Episode 12 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you once again this week. We're brought to you in association with our main sponsor, Quinn AV. For all your sound, lighting and AV solutions, check out quinnav.ie. As most of you know from last week's show, I was away on holiday all week. I just got back today from Turkey, so delighted to be back. I still have the same teeth, same nose, same lips, no cosmetics. I did get a Turkish haircut. And I got a kebab as well, Gary. But aside from that, nothing too exotic.
You could have done with new teeth and new head and new whole lot, on you?
Jeez, I tell you that, it's the amount of Irish people out there getting procedures is unbelievable.
Oh, were you a busy man chatting to loads of
I didn't meet too many podcast listeners, unfortunately, though. But down by the pool and everyone's over getting the teeth done and getting the hair done. It's unbelievable.
Oh, look, it's the place to get it. But like, I think I remember one of these semi-viral posts on Twitter. I think it was someone took a picture of like the row of heads on the plane about to take off from Turkey, and it was just rammed full of lads with the hair done. And
just to tell you, it looks painful. I have to say.
Oh, look, we'll probably need it in a few years, won't we?
Well, Longford Town going well the last couple of days. Maybe I need to stay away, but if results stay like that, then the hair should stay fairly dark. So, look, we're going to have a bit of a bite-sized pod this week because, obviously, I only got back into the country in the last couple of hours. So we don't have any guests on this week's show, but we're working on some big ones for the next few weeks. But, obviously, it's been a hugely busy couple of days in the League of Ireland with the bank holiday, with the double set of fixtures in the Premier and in the First Divisions, which is rare. You don't usually get the Friday, Monday in both divisions. So I actually feel a little bit out of touch, Gary, this week. So I'm probably going to be riding on you a little bit to carry me through this week's show. But look, we'll start with the big main talking point of the last couple of days, and that is Tim Clancy's departure from St. Pat's. When I was away last week, I didn't have data on when I was out of the hotel. And when I was in the hotel, the Wi-Fi wasn't fantastic. So I just caught it down by the pool. I think it was 5 or 6 hours old, the news at this stage. And I was like, oh, Jesus, he's gone. And I was initially surprised. But then I thought back to something you said earlier in the season on the show. And when Pats came out with that rocky spell they had, where we were talking about, is he under pressure? We had a couple of Pats listeners that came onto the show and they weren't very impressed and said, yeah, they think he's under pressure. They came out of that, and it's only a few weeks ago I interviewed Tim Clancy in Drogheda after they beat Drogheda, and that was their fourth win in a row, and it looked like they'd come out of that. They were up to second in the league. I think they had the second highest amount of goals scored. But you said that the damage that little rocky spell they had at the start of the season, and even kind of little elements of times of last year as well, it had left him very vulnerable, that if they did get into another rut this season, he was always going to probably end up in this situation.
Yeah, I think that's true. Well, obviously, is it obvious that it's true? Maybe it is. I think at this point, because simply he's not with St. Pat's anymore. So I think it's interesting that, you know, he had that rocky patch, kind of got out of it, but then he was always teetering in that position again, I felt. And it was going to be very difficult to get out of it, because he would have basically had to have eradicated those poor performances for the rest of the season, because there was a lot of unrest, for want of a better phrase, and like between fans and stuff like that. So he was always going to be under pressure when from any bad result. I don't think the one... what was the score on Monday, was it?
1-0.
Yeah, probably was fair. Well, was it 1-0 at home to Sligo?
I think...
I don't rate Sligo, but...
Yeah, we'll come to Sligo later on, but I think, again, like, obviously, I haven't seen a huge amount of football over the last couple of days, but from reading a lot of comments online, I think a lot of people not that happy with maybe the style of football. They didn't have a shot on target, I don't think, in the game. Pats, you know, at home, and that is obviously going to breed frustration when results aren't going your way. It's one thing, but when you're going out to Inchicore or Richmond Park or wherever you're going to watch your team and the football's not great as well, then that's an extra kind of nail in the coffin.
It certainly is. I think he was kind of was the on borrowed time for a good little while.
I think you summed it up well there in the season. It just kind of left a bit of a stench in the air, didn't it? And if he got into a rocky patch, especially so soon after getting out of the last one, the previous rocky patch was going to be very fresh in the mind. And you're like, well, are we going anywhere here?
Looking back at
the game from Friday where they lost 2-0 to Derry, they only had one shot on target. So one shot on target across two games. That's obviously worrying.
It is truly. And yeah, I think it's probably the right. I was like, oh God, this happened. Like when I seen the news this morning, and I was like, well, actually, am I that surprised at all?
Mm.
He's been kind of in that kind of vein for the last little while, and you know, now we're seeing the results of it. So look, it's disappointing. It was a good little run. He took over Pats in a reasonably good position. That's Stephen O'Donnell left him in, but there was kind of that. Was there, what would be the right phrase, a bit of sourness to the way O'Donnell ended it. So from Clancy to come in after doing so well with Trotter, it was probably a good move. But there was going to be a lot of added pressure in that job. And I think the pressure is told. And would you say it's the right decision?
It's probably hard for us to say, isn't it? If the fans aren't happy, I suppose they're seventh in the table at the moment, but league positions at this stage are so congested. I mean, they could easily be fourth in the table there, and you're saying, right, well, they're in the mix for Europe and all the rest. But I suppose you were talking about Sligo earlier on. I suppose they don't want to fall into that club that are always bouncing between fourth and fifth in the table and not really going anywhere, you know.
Doing nothing.
O'Donnell had them up to second that time. Now, he probably overachieved, and it was all, even if O'Donnell stayed on, it's going to be very difficult for him to build on that, because I don't think they were ever going to win the league title with Rovers, the way Rovers are, and obviously the money that came into Derry at the time. It was always going to be hard for them to... So, you know, you can only win the cup so many times before people get bored of it. That might sound mad for Pats that, you know, had such long spells, but it's the league title people want to see. Obviously, if you have good runs in Europe, that helps as well. And I think that helped Tim Clancy last year when he was maybe having a bit of a ropey spell. They had those good performances in Europe. That kind of gave him some extra credit in the bank, but I suppose maybe they're just not seeing that progress this season. They don't look like they're kicking on St. Pat's.
No, that's right, and I think that's kind of been always a criticism of Clancy, that they're always have that danger that they're going to throw in a dire performance, like what we've seen too many times, I think, and that's where the pressure has really grown over the last little while, and this is the result. And look, it's, you don't see anyone losing their job at all, but I think
he's a nice fella as well, Tim Clancy. You know, it's always a shame when one of the good ones do lose the job, but look, I'm sure he'll be back in the league and come back stronger for it. But look, they've obviously got John Daly coming in as interim boss for the time being. Have you heard any rumours as to who might be taking or who might be in the front running for that job?
Not at all. I haven't a clue. Was there anyone else around? I did see someone say, oh, Keith Long took a job a couple of weeks too early. But, you know, he would have been a very good fit for that for that job. But, I think it's... Richard Dunn.
Actually, I did see that name mentioned, yeah. Look, it's very hard to know when they have no kind of... when they haven't had a senior job before, it's very difficult to know. You can be the best player in the world, you can be a crap manager, you can be an average player and a really good man. It's very difficult to know. What would your thoughts be on that? You have to start somewhere, I suppose. But
you have to start somewhere, and like, you know, what is he going to do? He's not going to... I don't know, was it the Renford Rejects? Like, he's not going to get a job there and then, you know, cut his teeth there and then move on to something else. He has to start at some level, and what we like to think the League of Ireland is the best league in the world and all the rest of it, there's still plenty of limitations there. So
Yeah, you just hope if someone like that is going to get the job, it's on merit. You know, I'm sure they'll go through candidates, and we often hear, but we've kind of heard about managers before putting on great presentations, you know, trying to get jobs.
Bringing
great ideas forward. And if Richard Dunn goes into an office and there's three men or women on the committee or whatever it is, and he blows them away, fair enough. There's your chance. Go and prove yourself. But you'd hope it's not the name that will play a factor in any decision.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the name is important. Well, not important, but it's also a factor as well. It helps, you know, raise the profile of the club, bring more sponsorship and those types of things into the fold. So it can't be without consideration either. So, you know, if Richard Dunn has his badges and the rest of it, then wouldn't be the worst shout in the world. Mm. You know, we've seen it. I don't want to compare him to Duffer, but, you know, there's probably similarities in there. In their recent history as well.
I suppose just Duffer was in the League of Ireland fold as such with underage at Rovers and Shells. So I suppose he was already in that environment.
Yeah, but what has Richard been dumbing at? Hasn't been scratching either. Like, I don't know exactly what he has been doing, but I'm sure he's been coaching and doing other things in different places. Just because of the League of Ireland level doesn't mean Duffer is 10 times the manager. Well,
and it's funny, isn't it? Even when Duffer got the Shells job, he was still kind of viewed as an outsider, I think.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
by League of Ireland people, who were like, this fellow, you know, we were probably guilty of this fellow won't be here 6 months.
Yeah, I think he said May. So look, we got that wrong, as we got plenty of things wrong as well, you know. But I think there's, you know, it'd be interesting. I wouldn't be as against it as I might have been. Previously, I think we first heard about Richard Dunn was with Bowes when Keith Long left initially.
Yeah.
And it was a bit like, don't know about this. Yeah,
the Bowes fans weren't having it at all, I don't think.
No. But yeah, I don't think they know what they want. But I think it's fine. Mm. Wouldn't have much issue with that. It'd be interesting to see how he gets on.
Of course, their old boss, Liam Buckley, he's got a new job today as well. Sporting director at Cork City, a club who on the pitch, very much struggling over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think I've been proven right there as well. I think I'm getting a lot of stuff right lately. I don't know.
You're having a good season though, I must say.
I think so. With their largely first division side, they've, you know, in the initial excitement and some of the results and scoring goals and... I think as their opponents have kind of gelled together and copped on as time went on throughout the season, Cork have been found out almost, and you know they've been suffering some heavy defeats, conceding goals. Even their rumours only at the moment, but rumours that Colin Healy has left as we record, no confirmation of that yet, but. It's probably not beyond the realms of. It's probably not too far from reality either, is it?
I hadn't seen them now. Again, I'm only a couple of hours.
There's only rubbish on Twitter. Like, it's
But I think there's been kind of murmurings within the fan base for large parts of this season. I think it's fair to say. Like we're talking about Tim Clancy going through rocky spells, and we were having the discussions on this show: is he under pressure? Should he stay? Should he go? And I think we've kind of been treading in that territory with Cork for. Chunks of this season as well.
Whether Colin Healy should stay or should
We were kind of half surprised but not overly surprised that Tim Clancy left, and I think if a statement came out now as we're talking about Colin Healy, I don't think we would be surprised at all.
No, we wouldn't. And with Liam Buckley coming in, director of football,
sporting director. Obviously, already. I was reading the article there about him getting the job, and some of the comments underneath straight away were, you know, 2 and 2 making 5. That he'll be the new manager. Look, well, no idea what kind of visions he
on. Like,
yeah. But you know, this is the kind of rumors to start. It doesn't help the current situation that they're going poorly on the pitch, and you'll have these rumors going on in the background. So, there's a lot of noise about Cork City at the moment, and a lot of it's not overly positive, but. Obviously great to have someone of Liam Buckley's experience and knowledge going into the club to hopefully help build the actual football club.
Yeah, I think he would make a great addition to a club in Cork's position at the moment with the pressure that they're under on the field. A sporting director, I'm sure. Well, sure, that could be a title. He could be coming in as T-man, and he'd have lots to say and lots of opinions. He's been around for so long, he knows the game in the country quite well. Didn't go so great at Sligo, but he knows his business, so I think he'd be a great addition to Cork City and their current issues.
Yeah, let's just take a look at some of the other results from the bank holiday weekend. So Shells 2, Cork City 1, obviously a really important win for Shelburne. We've mentioned Cork there. It's been a bad couple of days for them. They got absolutely spanked on Monday by Bowes. A bit of a mixed bank holiday for Bowes, wasn't it? 1-1 against UCD. You can tell us about that. So, but then they go 5 past Cork. But look, I suppose they'll still be ultra pleased with their start of the season. And it's encouraging UCD starting to show a lot more positivity in terms of their results and performances over the last few weeks.
Yeah, they've been growing a good bit. I don't really know how they've been doing it.
Only 3 points behind Cork now. So, that will be very concerning for Cork, given how slow UCD had of a start. To be only 3 points behind is concerning.
It is really concerning, but it's very similar to Derry and Shamrock Rovers at the top of the table. Derry flying at the start, going really well. Shamrock Rovers can't buy a win.
Mm.
Yet here they are now. Look at the state of it from a Derry perspective.
Yeah.
So
we'll get to them in a second. As well.
We will. Yeah. We absolutely will. They only conceded the second goal on Monday night against Dundalk in like the 4th minute of injury time, and it was a banger from all of 30 yards, I think, by O'Kane.
Really, yeah, seen
banged
that.
It in off the crossbar. Yeah. Oh, I know you were watching it. But even the goal that Dundalk had scored to go ahead was just a old fumbling kind of goal. A ball came over. I think it was Martin? I think that got the opening
John Martin
goal.
Got the first one, yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of just hit off him and went in. But UCD did create some chances, should have done it better with some of their chances, but fluffed their lines. And I think that's kind of a story of UCD this season, getting into decent positions but not being able to put the ball in the net, or in a lot of cases even put the ball on target, which is more concerning. But they've tightened up a few bits at the back. They've been getting clever with each passing game. I've seen them a few times this season. They were quite good on Friday, but Bowes were diabolical.
Really, yeah.
Absolutely desperate. Very few good performances on the field. And even when the ball was turned over and it was just a little bit of interplay around the halfway line, UCD put the ball was played in and the ball was crossed in at pace. It was a really nice move. But the striker, I can't remember who scored, but the striker was able to take time on the ball, take a touch, and then smash it by Talbot in the box. You know what?
Jake Doyle got the goal.
Thank you. It's not like how did Bowes find themselves in that position? They weren't threatening enough after they got the opening goal. Mm. They weren't dangerous enough. The passing was poor. Nothing was crisp. It was like really lethargic.
Of course, that came off the back of I think most people would agree, probably a fortunate, or definitely a flattering scoreline against Drogheda. 2-0 was very flattering to Bowes a couple of weeks ago. So
yeah.
How do you explain them going scoring 5 on Monday, aside from Cork's obvious ongoing troubles at the moment? But
Forget about Cork.
It's hard to analyse it at the moment, isn't it?
It is, but I think there's been one too many games where Bowes have been lucky to get 3 points in a game. They were very poor against UCD and Daly Mountain. 2 goals in a couple of minutes won them that game.
Mm.
They shouldn't have won that game. Well, not shouldn't have, but they were very, very lucky to beat Drogheda the week before. You know, they've been, that's only two I can think of, but there's been another couple of games where they've been not at the races at all and have come out on the right side of a result, either with a draw or 3 points. They deservedly came away with only a point on Friday last against UCD. They just weren't clinical enough, kind of I don't want to say disrespectfully UCD, but I think they had it half in their brain that we just need to get these 3 points and get another three on Monday and we'll be ticking along nicely again. But that's just 2 points dropped from a very poor performance.
They're still top of the league, though, and we'll move to their main title rivals. Derry, 2-0 winners against Pats on the Friday, but then beaten 2-0 by Shamrock Rovers on the Monday. And I know this was the live game on RT. You know, I didn't get to see it, unfortunately, because I was watching the town stream over in Turkey. But and it was an excellent stream, by the way. Yeah, great job on the comms, Gaz. Well done.
Thank you very much. I didn't know you were in Turkey. You didn't mention it.
You filled me boots well, I have to say.
Well, that was more Tony than me, but you know, good stream in your absence.
What was I going to say, though? On the Derry Rovers game, I went straight onto Facebook after the game just to see what people were, what was the comments. Derry fans were extremely critical of their side. They called it a dire performance. They were highlighting certain players. Again, Diallo's name came up a lot for a poor performance. You know, we were hoping he was going to turn a corner. But Derry fans feel that he needs to be dropped, that he's been on a very poor run of form. And he, you know, you highlighted him probably a good 2 months ago now. On this podcast, but they were comprehensively beaten at home by Shamrock Rovers. We keep using the word every week about Rovers when we're talking about them. This is starting to look very, very ominous for everybody else.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think it's time for. Well, I'm gonna have to stick with Derry, obviously, because I picked them at the start of the season. But I can't see them winning it now. Really can't. They've been. The fact that it's Shamrock Rovers that they're up against, who have the pedigree of recent years, have the squad together, adding bits to it, taking away bits that they don't need, letting players go, moving players on, like they're a well-oiled machine, and they're just not stopping. It's not good enough from Derry, really. I'm so disappointed in them. You know, winning away to
winning a home Cork, to Pats.
Cork and winning a home to Pats is right. It's like, sure, you know, Pats sacked their manager today.
Yeah.
Or sorry, left by mutual consent. I'm not sure if it was a sacking. No, yeah, but it was. Yeah. It was a resignation, I think, is what they call it. So I'll call it as I said it. You know, that's nothing special at all.
And plus, you go back to their win over Rovers earlier in the season that you were at, and I know you weren't impressed with Derry that night. And plus, you have to remember the state Rovers were in that night in terms of the players they were missing. It was a total makeshift team, really. Now, there's still a tons of quality on the pitch, but we all said that night, Derry have to go to Tallinn, win this game to put down a real stamp.
Yeah.
We were up for this. But, you know, they were okay. There was a lot of favour going their way that night in terms of the state Rovers were in terms of suspensions, injuries, all the rest. They're at home in this one and they've been comprehensively beaten. It's very worrying for Derry's title chances.
I think those title chances are fading.
Already, you're calling that. Here's one for you. So, who I think we both feel, I called Rovers from the start. I'm very much sticking with them. I'm extremely confident they'll win the league.
Okay.
You went for Derry, but your confidence is obviously wavering now. Who is a bit, if we both agree that Rovers are going to win the league right now, who is the better chance if you take Rovers out of the equation? Would you say Derry or would you say Bows?
To come second.
Betting without, as they say, take Rovers out of the equation.
I think Derry. I'm really on the fence, though. Derry have so many quality individual players.
And probably the scope and, to add to that in the summer, you'd think.
Yeah.
Although the same could be said for Bowes. But
absolutely, Derry, they're not poor either. But I think with Bowes, I just don't think there's... the not the pedigree, but the league winning history within the squad. You know, you look
at least Derry have a lot of the Dundalk boys.
And you know, Higgins was around the club as well at the time, or part of that time anyway. And I think there is, they just have a bit more, but they really need to get their act together completely. Their some of their play has been so poor, but I've been blue in the face saying
you
it.
Have, yeah, you have.
The so many games have been just at nothing. I couldn't, looking back now, it seems more and more crazy that Shamrock Rovers' only loss of the season came at Tala against Derry.
Mm.
It's really surprising when you think of it now, even with the state of Rovers at the time on the pitch. They were by far the better team in the first half, and you know, it was more even in the second half, but Derry were dirt, and they haven't progressed. They haven't, you know, the initial, you know, put it down to start of the season, gelling and coming together again and blah, blah, blah. And that's all fine. But we're 13 games in. Well, we're third of the season over. No more time for gelling. If you're not gelling by now, you're not gelling.
Yeah.
It's over. And, you know, grief about the pitch and this and that and the other. All excuses. All nonsense. You know, needs more output by far.
On Rovers, you know, fantastic couple of days for them, beating Sligo at home and then the win against Derry. And they've added a good friend of ours to the structure of the club there, Johnny Martin, going as CEO. I think that's a fantastic addition from Shamrock Rovers.
It's 2023 now. Shamrock Rovers will be in the Champions League group stages by 2030 if Johnny Martin says round. Sorry, Johnny, I know you listened the odd time. If you hear that, that's a lot of pressure. But, yeah, it's a really, really good move. The man is a fountain
of knowledge in football.
Well, not only that, he's quite a smart man, but for football terms, even for kind of season and a half that we were around with Johnny and Dara, like, you know, talking to Johnny, you knew well, he looked at the game differently than probably anyone that I'd ever met before.
Us two savages.
Oh yeah, well, apart from us two, yeah, savages is right. Yeah, but, like, yeah. I think even from other lads that we had spoken to, other players and managers, he was always
very different. It wasn't your generic football
cultured left foot and shut up shop job. He'd a lot more to say. So really good move. Could be one of the best signings that Rovers have made in a few years.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Look, let's round off the Premier Division chat shortly. We'll just talk about Dundalk for the moment. Dundalk with two big wins. They just about got the
two
job
big wins.
Just about got the job done against Drogheda in what looked a cracking derby, and then they get the win against UCD as well. But again, let me finish. There's been I've said this, so you can't accuse me of my Dundalk bias. I've put it out throughout the season on the pod that I haven't been convinced with Dundalk, and these are two more results that, although very positive, you know, 6 points from six over the last couple of days, they weren't convincing once again.
No. Not at all, and we've been seeing a lot of this from Dundalk this season. They were 2-0 against Drogheda.
2-0, like when can you ever remember something like that happening against Dundalk? Against any team, not just in the derby, you know, usually 2-0 at Oriel. You're either looking into a massacre or a bloodbath, or you're just looking at Dundalk putting on a very professional performance and, you know, just cruising to 2, maybe 3-0 win. But to let Drogheda back into the game, and I have seen some highlights,
especially
of the
after going down to 10 men.
Yeah, again, you know, but Drogheda, we've been very positive about Drogheda on the show. You just don't, and I know Kevin Doherty himself will definitely be of this mindset as well. I'm sure he doesn't want that culture or that mindset to start setting in around the club of these hard luck stories all the time. You go back to the earlier Louth derby in the season, never should have lost that one. Shouldn't have lost the Bows a couple of weeks ago. Shouldn't have lost this one. You know, there's a lot of shoulders there. A lot of points left off the table.
There certainly is, and you look at, you know, they're
missing a lot of chances in front of goal at the moment.
They are,
and some real gilt edge ones as well.
There are, and that is an issue. But you look at even those three games that you highlighted there, the suffering that they're going through to get into these positions and then to get nothing is really. I'd say it really takes it out of them, and credit has to go to Dara and Kevin. You know, I've said this a few times, but they're doing really well to pick up the players every single week.
Just I'm taking you off a different tangent now.
Okay.
Kevin Doherty, would he, if you were a decision maker at St. Pat's, is he someone you'd be looking at? And I include the whole package there, himself and Dara. I think they would be a really wise move for a club like Pat's.
I think so, but I think the issue at the moment for Pat's is they've been kind of in and around. It's probably in a similar vein to Sligo. They've been kind of in and around this kind of floating around, you know, pricking type stuff. You know, Bows were flying high. They were low last year. Now they're up again. Whereas Pats have been just treading water, it seems. But, you know, since, with the exception being the cup win, that could have very easily went the other way. Do you know what I mean? And Bows would have been even higher again. But I think with Pats, they need to maybe go back to the drawing board a bit as regards approach and where they see the next 3 or 4 years on the pitch go. Who are they bringing in? What players are coming through? What can they afford? Is there another manager that they can get in that maybe we haven't heard a lot about? Take a risk on something. Is it worth taking a risk? Do you think it's worth taking a risk on maybe an unproven manager?
It's very hard to know, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But like, you know, what else have they been at?
They've had great success with the academy of Pats and bringing young players through. So I'd imagine that's something that they'll very much want to continue. So maybe they will look to somebody that's kind of worked with younger players. But I just think like it's very obvious that particularly Kevin Doherty wants to go full time. And I think, you know, he'd be walking into a very big club there. We'd get back and I could see him being a success. But then again, as you said, you never know. And they could go through this cycle of hiring and firing and just it mightn't work. He'd definitely be on my shortlist anyway.
Definitely would be for mine. But did I want to go the same road, get the manager from Drogheda?
Yeah, and obviously then you have to pay the compo too. And plus, Kevin has the Shells links as well. I don't know whether that would come into the equation, but...
Nah, I don't think so.
No, but anyway, he'd be on my shortlist. Sorry, I did take you completely off a tangent there, but where were we? I suppose we'll round off on Sligo. We haven't really touched on them. And I know you sent me a clip the other day of John Russell's post-match comments after they beat Pats, ended up in the final nail in the...
A dedicated podcast listener.
Go on, run us through for anyone that didn't.
I barely remember. He said something about Sligo being like... what was it? Can you remember?
Was it viewed as kind of a mid-table, paraphrase it very much, you know, but viewed as a mid-table team
that's kind of talking it.
Knocking on the door, but not really going anywhere.
Never getting through the door. Absolutely. And I think that's been the case. I think Sligo really need a big, you know, sit down as to where or what they're trying to achieve as a football club. If you know, stuff on the pitch isn't a priority, okay, that's fine. Do other stuff. But I don't know. I've been so semi-permanent annoyed with Sligo for the last few years. Always threatening, you know, oh, we beat Motherwell and all the rest of it, and then do nothing. You know, the manager goes, another manager comes in, same stories again, poor results, win one week, get better sooner the following week, stutter to a draw against the team at the bottom of the table. You know, it's just not great. And I don't see where any change has been made in this regard. And I don't know what the change is. You know, I haven't ran too many football clubs in my life, but I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. Like even on Friday, like, I would have put any amount of money that Shamrock Rovers were going to win that game.
Yeah, so would I. But I'm not sure whether John Russell was kind of making the point that that's an unfair, you know, view of Sligo, or whether he was...
How was it not unfair, though?
That's where I'm going. You look at their form this season. It's nearly win. Green tick, red tick, red X every week. You know what I mean? It's win, lose, win, lose. They've gone through that a lot this season, and I know he meant the point that, you know, people view Sligo as inconsistent, but, and he mentioned the performances, you need the points on the board.
Yeah,
It's no point, you know, winning a game, playing bad, and then playing well the next week and losing. That doesn't matter. It's the results.
It's the hardiness that they don't have.
Yeah.
It's the steeding, how are we going to drag ourselves to it? Are we going to, you know, run through brick walls? Are we going to kill our grandmothers? You know, all that, those lines. You know, as Neil Warnock says, are we, you know, you have to die to win 3 points. Yeah. There's no dying. It's like a Rovers player hasn't died to win 3 points in a number of years.
Max Matt is still banging them in, though.
He is. Fair play.
And I think Bulger now does. He really puts his body on the line. And I know he was sent off recently, wasn't he, I think?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that. Like Bulger,
I think we said a few weeks ago how important he still is to that team.
Which is a concern.
It kind of is in a way, because... Yeah. You know, they've brought in so many players over the last few years, particularly from abroad. And I know now the likes of Hartman there is starting to really have an impact. And obviously, Max Matt is flying this season. But have they progressed as far as we would have liked? No, would definitely be the answer.
No, but who was your boy that they brought in from Estonia last year? The striker. Yeah, Livak, was it?
Livak's still there, yeah.
What's he at, though?
He's been better this season, definitely, but has he been a bit inconsistent as well?
I don't know. I might have an under Ronan Coughlin moment.
Yeah,
here,
but... what's this for you?
But like, they've probably brought in half the league from Estonia, and there's very few of them still there, if any. Livak, a couple of others maybe, but I don't know. I'm just struggling to see what the direction is. It seems to be getting players in from abroad on big money that don't really do a whole pile. If a few gems in there, I know you have to try stuff, but you know, they're not pulling up too many trees either.
You know, it's interesting. You see, Shamrock Rovers making the appointment of John Martin. You see now Liam Buckley going into Cork. You know, I think Sligo Rovers could probably do with someone of that ilk
to run the whole,
particularly the transfer policy. As you said, it's been a bit scattergun over the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Without a doubt. And who do you get in?
That's sure, the other loads thing. Of great people to have. Probably, I think it's always better if they have a connection with the club. Obviously, John played for Shamrock Rovers, didn't he? So he'll have that bit of a connection.
That wouldn't bother me. I think, you know, like a John Martin would be able to run any club, particularly. Obviously, it's good that he has a connection, but I wouldn't say that would make a huge bag of difference. I think there are formulas there that can be used, and you don't need to have a lifetime of winning and losing every second week with Sligo Rovers to be a better candidate than someone else. So.
Right, let's move on to the first division. Just flying through the...
Never mind Friday. There's one place we have to start.
Yeah, we will in a second. I just, for anyone that was under a rock or maybe away like myself, Bray 1, Waterford 2 on the Friday. Treaty 4, Kerry 0. That's a very disappointing result for Kerry. Galway 1, Cove 0. Athlone 3, Wexford 0. Dreadful result for Wexford.
Absolutely.
We'll get to them in a minute. And then Harps 1, Longford 1. We both missed that. That was the first game we've missed this season. But then on the Monday, Wexford bounced back with a 1-0 win against Waterford. Bray beaten 3-0 by Treaty. That was a shock result there, I think it's fair to say. Cove 4, Kerry 1. Again, disappointing to see Kerry conceding so many goals. Longford Town 1, Galway 0. What a result for the town.
Yep, and
Finn Harps 1, Athlone Town 4. Athlone, you just never know what you're going to get from them. But look, as you said, only one place to start in the first division this week. That was Longford Town's shock win against Galway. I don't know what price the town were, but they were surely 5, 6, 7, 8 to 1. You were at the game. As I said, I was watching the stream abroad, but you obviously had a much better view than I did, so please take it away, Gary.
Yeah, what a result. Obviously, might as well start at that. A real tonic for Longford, the players and the fans and everybody associated with the club, because they've obviously only had the one win against Kerry this season and plenty of draws, and a couple of times it was a corner turn and then it seemed to be back around where we were. I'm not saying that this is yet another corner turn. It's only one win, but it was a heroic performance at the back from the town.
It seemed to be that, yeah.
you know, Galway had so many chances. I thought their finishing a lot of the time was just woeful. Stephen Walsh burying a header 5 or 6 yards wide, probably 5 yards out. Keita came on and hammered it wide a few times. Really getting into really good positions, but the finishing was just so poor. They had, obviously, Stephen Walsh, if you, for anyone that wants to watch highlights, look at Longford Town's highlights. I wouldn't bother with the league's highlights, they're only a minute long. Stephen Walsh hit...
I thought you said if the streams were good, then we could expect better highlights. You made that argument a few weeks
I did,
ago.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to be sound to the FAI, which is obviously my fault. So, sorry about that. I was trying to be positive from an FAI perspective, but obviously I was wrong. That'll learn me. The Stephen Walsh with the bicycle off the crossbar, and
yeah, I don't know what way I was watching that, and I couldn't really hear the commentary at the time because there was a bit of music on in the hotel. But I knew it hit the crossbar, and then I don't know what, there was a bit of a scramble, and I shouted out, I went, "Oh no!" And I was certain Longford had conceded. And next thing, I just seen Jack Brady picking the ball up, and I actually thought he was carrying the ball out to throw it out to the centre circle.
No.
It was only when he booted the ball out, I was like, "Oh jeez, it didn't go in." I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it came off the crossbar, and where Brady had went up to try and save that, it came down. But the way the ball spinned down, it was all the pace was taken out of it.
Mm.
So when I think it was Ed McCarthy that tried to head it in, there was no pace for him to get, no pace in the ball, so he had to generate it all. And he just didn't get enough on it, and Brady was on the ground. He just kind of stood up on his knees nearly and just claimed it before it went over the line. There was a few shouts, but there was no serious shouting that it was over the line, and the linesman, because he was there on from the corner, he already had a good view of it. Like, he wasn't like 10 yards up the pitch trying to look back or at like that. So I didn't think it was over the line watching it, obviously, but I you know, bias and messing aside, I don't think it was over the line. And you know, Brady did have a couple of really good saves in the game. He was heroic, some of the saves he made. Josh Gergie came on for the injured goal scorer, Boudiaf.
Yeah.
He was really good. I thought he just took Lombotto out of the game, but Lombotto was very poor in the night. But Gergie was throwing his weight around, and not throwing his weight around recklessly or fouling anybody, but I think Lombotto was like, "Well, don't you come near me," in a way. And you know, there was Gergie was shouldering him off the ball and protecting the ball well. But yeah, a lot of good performances from the town. Keane Byrne, Shane Elwardy, my man Victor Serendiuk, unbelievable at the back, the three of them. But yeah, I think even though, you know, you look at all the chances that Galway had, their finishing was just really poor. Even in the first 10 seconds before the goal for Longford, Hurley broke into the box and managed to hit it straight at the keeper from 8 yards out. Really good save by Jack. He got a good boot on it and it went away from the goal. But you know, you need to be doing better than that from those positions. And I think all would be left kind of scratching their heads in a way that they didn't get an equaliser at least. But, you know, even at the end, Longford Town had a couple of breakaway attempts. But they couldn't. I think Jamal Ibrahim ran himself into the ground. He was barely able to kick that ball at the end of the World Devil. But look, a really, really good team performance from Longford Town, and something that, you know, a real tonic for them for as they get on to Kerry on Friday.
Yeah, great to see. And a good chance for the town to string a few wins together now, you'd hope, with Kerry and Treat you in their upcoming games.
Absolutely.
It was great. I did log on to Twitter after the game to see what the reaction was like, and I hadn't really logged on to the BTS Twitter all week, but there was a few tweets from listeners, and it was like, "Oh, the BTS lads right now," and there was a few funny gifts and stuff, so we do appreciate that. But we would have been even smugger, Gary, if Waterford hadn't filled the togs, as you say, against Wexford, because that would have cut the gap down to, 4 points, and maybe that BTS prediction of, "Oh, Waterford will still win this league," it might have looked a little bit rosier. But Wexford,
yeah, well, actually,
some result for Wexford after being hammered by Athlone to go and beat Waterford.
Yeah, just actually on that, when you mentioned people getting in touch with us, I think, did I say, or we say on the podcast there, last week that Waterford would be the only team that'll stop Galway. Longford straight away. But yeah,
Wexford really needed this result. They really did.
Oh, they did.
When I seen result on Friday, it was one of the only few texts I sent you during the week. I said, Jesus, Wexford, you know, that's getting hairy down there now. So it really needed that result to go and beat their obviously the local rivals. It's going to give them a big boost, you'd hope.
It certainly is. And I think that's two in a row in the RSC for them. I think they won the last game they played down in the RSC as well. So really good, you know, like nice to build up a little run of form of not losing in the RSC, but they needed that badly. You know, take such a baiting on Friday. Just, you know, you kind of half expected a bit of a bloodbath of sorts maybe for in the RSC against Waterford, but they did really well. Dobbsy got the only goal of the game, and they really needed it because, you know, I'm hearing like a lot of talk about like real unhappiness or not unhappiness, but like what is going on?
I think we've read out a lot of tweets from
Wexford. Yeah, we have.
And they haven't been overly positive, have they?
No, they've been actually quite negative. So, you know, with the season that's in it, with the rebrand and new crest, largely new team, new investment, it really hasn't hit the mark on the pitch at all. And
I mean, they're still outside the playoff places. They have to go and build on this now, or this is meaningless otherwise.
They really do, or else you're in a Pats type situation where it's just back to the drawing board every week. And
only obviously it's far grimmer in the first division.
Well, it is far grimmer in the first division, but, you know, it's... You know, you still need to start beating what's in front of you. And with the expectations of Wexford this season, to be getting slaughtered 3-0 at home. That was a home, wasn't it?
No, they were away to at Lower.
But still, at the same time, 3-0 against, you know, a promotion playoff position rival. Not good. Not good at all.
What about Bray Wanderers beaten by Waterford? Look, you could probably forgive that. And they had a red card in that game. And then the red card again on Monday night when they lose 3-0 at home to Treaty. I mean, that was probably, aside from the Longford result, that was the shock result of the weekend in the first division. But that's at least their third red card this season. They had a man sent off against Cove earlier in the year. That's three red cards in, 12 games or something. That's not a great statistic.
No, it's not what you want. It's kind of hard. I don't really know what to make of them. They were poor enough up in Bishopsgate a couple of weeks ago. They've had some good results, but
they look an extremely average side.
They really do. They really,
and particularly
really
at the back, they seem like they're there to be got at.
They are, and like, you know, we were so disappointed that Longford didn't beat them. Couldn't hold on to the lead that Longford did have in that game. Connor Davis got the equaliser, but you're looking at some of the results. They took a right drubbing against Galway, a right drubbing, and then losing a home to Waterford. Right, that's okay as you said, but a 3-0 beating against Treaty. For Treaty to win the third game of the season, and particularly when did you watch that game last Monday week? Treaty against Waterford.
I tried to watch it. It was very jumpy.
The stream was quite poor. Yeah. They were absolutely dreadful in that game, brutal. So for them to turn it around in the last few days, to score a few goals like that, two wins on the bounce. Two clean sheets. What more could you ask for over a bank holiday weekend? Not much. But from a bigger perspective, they seem to be treading water. I know they're looking at the table here. They're 4 wins, 4 draws, and 4 losses. But 3 of their losses in the last 4 games.
Yeah.
And how quick it's turned.
They've only scored 14 goals, and 5 of them have come from the centre half, Cole. Now, he got he got a goal on Friday against Waterford, but then he was sent off on the Monday. So very mixed bank holiday weekend for him. But I think we looked at him in the two games against Longford, and you know we were hearing so much about him, and I think that's because he's scoring goals. And obviously he's a big target, and Bray are right to use him in the box. And you know,
absolutely,
you go back to Brian Gartland. I think he scored 7 or 8 goals one season for Dundalk in the back, didn't he? But
oh, you'll tell me that you probably remember every single one of them and watch them every night.
But I mean, defensively, we looked at him in the two games against Longford. We were like, you know, we're hearing all this hype, but he looks like he's someone that's easy to get at defensively. And
yeah,
I think areas against Longford recently, we were like, Longford didn't make as much of those situations.
I think with Cole, his physicality bails him out of situations.
Mm.
Like he can be got at, but
he doesn't look the most mobile of players.
No, he doesn't. But like he. Because he's so tall, like he gets, he's able to get in, you know, that last ditch challenge quite cleanly. You know, he doesn't have to take out the man as much or anything like that.
Anything in the air is his. So
exactly. So there are obviously good benefits to have such a big man at centre back, but he can be got at, and he can be a bit slower turning and stuff like that, and obviously erratic at times as well. But I think I'd rather have a lad scoring 5 goals from centre back, because like from a Longford perspective. We Longford Town have scored 10 goals this season, which is not great. We only conceded 13, which is like the second best or third best goals conceded in the division. But Longford's really struggled to make more hay from set pieces.
Yeah,
I'd love to have Cole in there, by, you know, getting his nut on a few bits from centre back.
Your mate Max Murphy was sent off on Friday as well.
He was sent off on Friday. Oh, Jamie Mack. Yeah.
That Coughlin lad got a couple of goals again in that one. You know him?
Oh, him. Yeah, geez, that was brutal by me. My God. really sorry for that. I have to hold my hand up there. What has he got? He's got 14 goals this season.
Amazing.
Yeah,
but just on that result on Monday though, losing to Wexford, are they as good as we thought they were going to be? Probably not.
I know they've got
the summer window to rectify it now. So if they can keep within 4 to 7 points of Galway, then and the summer window, who knows? Especially with Keith Long going in there, I'm sure he'll have his own ideas about getting players in. So
yeah,
but it's just a shame they didn't, as I said, build on this, because it'd be great if they had cut it to 4. It would have really built up a bit of excitement for a proper title race.
Yeah, but what are they going to do? Win all the games for the rest of the season?
Yeah.
Similar to what we said about Galway. Like,
the way we were going on, that was the agenda we'd laid out for the first
season. Yeah, it was. But
Galway and Waterford to blow everyone away.
Yeah, and I think, but like, you know, the greatest teams of all will lose games on the way to triumph. You know, no matter what way you look at it, you look down through history, there's always hairy moments, bad performances, oh Jesus, what happened there? That's always going to be the case. You don't have to look beyond the league, or you don't have to look too far beyond the League of Ireland to see issues like that. So,
well, look, they're playing each other on Friday, Galway and Waterford. So, big chance for Galway to really go and open up a nice big gap again. So, even if Waterford go and sign Messi in the summer window, they'll have a nice cushion to play with.
Yeah, certainly they will. But I just think that's normal run of the mill stuff for any league season, so wouldn't be overly concerned with it.
Who will we turn our attention to next? Treaty 4-0 win on they had a great couple of days. There could be a bit of a turning point in their season. 4-0 and 3-0 the last couple of days.
Absolutely. Obviously, the Bray one is the one to take more stock from, but I think it's really important that they did have this weekend. You know, actually, I think it was this weekend last year that Longford lost against Galway and Cork.
Yes.
And that kind of
killed any chance of winning the league.
Yeah, and not that we were kind of expecting it, but it really damaged the team.
And we've been saying about Treaty, if they didn't start getting these sort of results soon, the season was in big danger of petering out. So this was a really important weekend for them.
Absolutely. And you know, while probably there's going to be more teams vying for those playoff positions than there were in the last few years, to be involved with that, they needed to get to have a weekend like this, and the Julie got it. Particularly to have a clean sheet as well is really or two clean sheets is really nice, and definitely a sweeter for Tommy and Treaty.
The other big winners of the weekend in the first division was at Lone. They were 3-0 winners against Wexford, as we touched on, and then 4-1 away to Finn Harps. And I think Perot, did he get a hat-trick in the Wexford game? He did. He got a hat-trick in the Wexford game and then 2 goals against Harps. He'd gone a little bit quiet after his opening night explosion into the league against Longford, but he's starting to find the back of the net again, as we thought he would, because we were really impressed with him when we saw him on his debut that night.
Yeah, we were. As you said, he did kind of quieten down for a little while, but he had a really good weekend as well. One of the winners of the weekend, as you have said, to get just on this thing, the Harps result for Athlone. Are you surprised that they were such convincing winners?
Well, I think from Athlone as well, I think it was important they start finding that consistency, because we've been talking about them as very, very inconsistent. Like, if you go back to their last 5 games, a loss, a win, a loss, and you kind of expected them maybe to continue along that pattern, but they've got back-to-back wins now, and they're up to third all of a sudden. Now, there's a bit of a gap between them and the top two, but they'll be more than happy with their league position. On Harps, I didn't see the game on Friday night. I tried to get the stream going, but it kept breaking down on me. But from speaking to Town fans, I think Longford were deserving of a point. And you know, they've had back to back home games over the bank holiday, Harps, and they've come away with 1 point.
Yeah, not great. I think the Longford game, I think that another good example of Longford Town just not being able to convert chances. I watched a lot of the game, even though I was in the bowl on Friday. I had the screen in front of me, and I was a lot of the time tried to split between the two, but a lot of the time I looked down and Longford Town were on the attack, and it was very surprising, like, how they didn't score. And then I looked down and a bit of a pricking in the box, Longford don't clear, and it's poked in. Now Longford equalised quite soon after, or coming up to the break.
Great goal from A, great finish.
Great finish from A.
Seems to always get a belter up there, doesn't he?
He does. He has a few belters up there down through the years. I think was one of his first goals for Longford.
Probably would have been,
up there on the volley. No, that was his second goal. I think he opened the scoring against Galway a few weeks earlier that season. Anyway, but I think it's. I was talking to a few, because I wasn't at the game on Friday. A lot of people around Longford now, obviously, people would say this, but a lot of people that are at the game, they're still kind of scratching their heads as to how they didn't get 3 points in that game. And that's been a serious team in Longford Town season. How are we not getting points here? They're creating a lot of chances. Right, getting, but just right,
try and stick with Harps here for a minute.
Yeah, it's hard to. But
I think there's been a lot of talk
recently. Jail even in that game.
Been a lot of talk recently about them kind of going on a decent run where they only lose 2-9 or something along that, but
I'm not sure that's.
They've won 3 of 12. Scored 13 and 12. They don't look like a team that can really go and hurt the opposition, Harps. They're staying in a lot of games, but
they're staying in a lot of games. But they've conceded a bag of goals as well.
I don't think anyone's. It's a very young team, and they're finding their feet. I don't think we're overly surprised with this. I wouldn't be too critical of Finn Harps, really. I think this is where they are. I think where they are in the table is probably, this is it for this year. Yeah, this is a building year, them.
But sure, Longford are the same.
But we know that. We know that.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how satisfied are you with Longford season so far?
We're still ninth in the table at the end of the day,
right?
But I'm seeing Harps very positive things. Are you seeing the same? If you were a Harps fan, are you seeing the same sort of positivity about Harps? We don't see enough of them, obviously, on a regular basis to probably fully answer that.
I'm moderate. Obviously, it's very hard for me to separate the result on Monday from the rest of the season. But some good performances from Longford Town. But need to win more games. Need to start scoring more goals. Simple as that. I'm not going to say this is grand, and a lot of young players. That's true. But you know, young players, you know, you don't get an extra, oh, what was your average age of the squad? Oh,
right, 20. Yeah, here's an extra.
You get
point,
an extra, yeah. Yeah, here's an extra, or 5 points. Yeah. That doesn't happen. So I don't want to hear about that. And it's the same from a heart perspective. Oh, gelling together. It's hard to get the boys gelled and, you know, gelling and all this gelling.
Yeah, as you said about Derry, you know, with 13 games in now, there's only so, you know,
yeah, the third of the season is over.
Stop talking about it.
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As I said, we'll wrap up the first division now and go into the predictions shortly. Disappointing to see Kerry conceding so many goals at the moment. Now, hopefully that will continue on Friday.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we give them a lot of credit for the way they steadied the ship again after the Galway result. Galway.
Yeah.
And they picked up a couple of points. But, you know, we thought they were getting closer to that first win. And I have to be very careful given who they're playing next. But are they actually getting any closer?
It's really hard to see, isn't it? I don't...
The concerning thing, and I think we've said it a few times, they don't seem to be learning from the mistakes they're making, particularly defensively.
No, that's true. They're not turning any corners, for want of a better phrase, even though I think I've said it already in this episode and I hate it. But they're not growing enough. And, you know, the conceding set piece goals and... I think it was the third or might have been the fourth Cove goal was a header from a corner, and your man had 10 minutes to buy himself in the box. There was no,
and we've said
challenge.
That a few times this season. Like,
that's really it, and it is hard. Like, we've been talking about Town and defending set pieces, but I think it is not an easy thing to fix. But, like, surely something has to be done from a Kerry perspective, because they're just an open... It's a free chance, nearly, from a lot of set-piece chances that opponents have. And I think between their probably innate lack of experience, it's so easy for teams to get at them. If they go at the team with go at Kerry with a bit of pace and a bit of crisp passing, they can be got through very handily. And that's just a recipe for disaster, where if you don't have a team that's playing that well, they can be get at you from set pieces and corners and free kicks and all the rest of it. And then if you have a team that's more ball playing and on the front foot, like, let's say, like Galway, for example, they can just slice through you and score at ease. So,
and the news about Kerry this evening, it looks like Caelan Spillane probably isn't going to be returning to the first team squad this season. Looks like just work commitments and family commitments have already taken their toll. So they've lost, they're probably their most experienced outfield player there.
Oh God. Yeah, that's a kick in the nuts, particularly in this season. You need players like that to, you know, keep plugging away and, you know, bring that experience and that presence on the field every single week. So that'll be a huge loss and a big job for Billy Dennehy to replace, but look, he's a big job anyway in a number of areas on the pitch, so I'm sure he's more than enough to be dealing with.
Right, let's move on to the predictions for this weekend. We'll start with the first division games and we'll go Wexford against Bray to open things up.
Wexford against Bray, two teams not at much. Bray obviously losing against Treaty last week and Wexford with the big result down in the RSC.
Wexford have to build on that. They have to build on it.
I think so, but also with Cole having got the red card on Monday, I think he'll be a big loss, like a monumental loss for Bray. I'm going to go 2-1 Wexford.
Right, I'm going to go down the middle on this one and 1-1. Let's go Treaty against Athlone. Two teams that had a fantastic bank holiday. Someone has to lose out here. Of course, it could be a draw, but...
I think Athlone have this one. I think with Perrault getting his shooting boots back on him, I think
our mate Enda seems to be finding the scoring boots again, though.
Yeah, no, I know, but and he's all, you know, he's always there. But I think Athlone have a bit more in the tank. They've a bit more about them at the moment. With Treaty, they've only started this revival in the last week, so I don't think it's going to be a runner for that. They get a lot. They want to clean sheets, though.
There seems to be plenty of firepower in this Athlone team this year. Maybe that's wrong. I'm just looking at the table. Is that a wrong perception I have? No, they've got 22 goals in 12. That's the next best outside of the top two.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 at Lawn.
Right, I'm going 2-2 on this one.
2-2?
Yeah, 2-2. I think it could be a bit of a mad one. Just plenty of informed strikers on the pitch. So
there is. Ended to get one or two?
Yeah, definitely. You get the two of them. Cove against Finn Harps. We didn't mention Cove too much. I know that they were beaten on the Friday night against 1-0 against Waterford, wasn't it? And then they got their win on the Monday night. So again, I think they'll be happy enough with their performances over the course of the bank holiday. They're in the playoff places. You know, it's been a decent season so far. Taking on a Harp side who I think we feel aren't pulling up any trees at the moment. This looks a good opportunity for Cove here.
Yeah, absolutely. Long old drive for Harps down to Cove. I can't see anything other than a Cove win, to be quite honest. I think they have...
I'm sure we'll be hearing about the long journey.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think Harps have conceded, you know, far too many goals this season.
That's the concern.
It is a concern, and I think Cove...
I'm just not scoring enough goals.
Who?
Harps.
No, not at all. But we know that. I think, though, Cove are going to cause them a lot of damage, but I think they'll be well able to contain any attacking danger from Finn Harps. So I'm going to go 2-0 Cove Ramblers.
Okay, I'm going 1-0 to Cove Ramblers. Kerry against the Town. I'm only back in the country and I'm getting on a plane on Friday morning. I can't
yeah, you're going to be... Maybe sick to the sight of Dublin Airport. Looking forward to it though.
Real novelty to this one. Don't tell the Bose climate officer.
I don't mind him. Longford have to win this.
They have to win this.
This Monday will be like prehistoric history.
Yeah.
If they don't win this game,
yeah,
the pressure is on. You have to back up.
That is the thing. This is one of the rare occasions this season. The pressure is very much on Longford Town.
Sorry, say that again.
This is one of the rare occasions this season where the pressure is very much squarely on the shoulders of Longford Town and nobody else in this game.
Absolutely. 100%. They have to go down professional, confident, no messing, no fluting, get it done, get the ball in the net. I know this is very easy to say.
Yeah.
But get it done. 2-0 Longford Town. Nothing else. At least 2-0 Longford Town.
I hope you're right. I think, you know, Longford again this season, credit to Stephen Henderson, extremely organised, well organised. I think you've said, they've got the second or third best defensive record in the league?
Third best.
So
fewest goals
going down there, you obviously want to, you're playing the bottom side, a team that are conceding a lot of goals. You want to be positive on the front foot, but you want to also hold that kind of structure. And that's where Longford have kind of probably stumbled over themselves at times this season. I'd say where they've struggled maybe to get the balance right, or go from, as I said before, from one mode to the other.
Yeah.
You don't want to go down here and end up, you know, camping in and inviting pressure, but you want to be solid as well. You'd hope the Town will find a way to hurt this Kerry team. But you know, they didn't blow them away in the first game in Bishopsgate. It was a tight enough affair, but Longford obviously were deserving winners on the night. I'm going to follow you on the 2-0, and I very much hope we're right on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't expect Longford to go down there and blow them away. I think this, as you said, it would be, if Longford are going to win this one, it's going to have to be done professionally.
Yeah, as with everything, but the no pricking, like even at one point there on Monday. It was a ball out from the back, and then centre back passed it into the other centre back, who then skied it. You know, mishit it, skied it, and Longford Town were under pressure again from a nothing position.
Yeah,
Galway were well in, and it was just, you know, crazy stuff. Should have never have occurred.
Yeah.
So you know that stuff has to be gotten out of the team.
Mm.
But at the moment. Look, we'll take the great win on Monday. We'll look forward to Kerry heading down early on Friday morning. On the positive, looking forward to a good match and a confident winning performance from Longford Town.
Right, the big one, Galway against Waterford.
The big one. No, the other one.
The warm-up act for Kerry against Town.
Galway in a position that they haven't been in this season. Could the wheels be... The start of the wheels coming off and Waterford take control of the division? I don't think so. I think with Waterford, will be looking at, you know, the Galway beat them down there 1-0 earlier on this season. I think it was a goal from a corner. I think Waterford would be very disappointed, you know, to lose that game against Wexford. And obviously a very bad game to follow up a 1-0 home loss. Is Galway in Medici Park. So I think Galway will be hurting.
They know now, though.
How do
Waterford approach this game? Like, are they looking at this? We're going to have to win these games because the slow start we have. We're going to have to win these head-to-heads to win the league. Or do you think Keith Long is probably a little bit more sensible than the two of us and saying, look, lads, still early in the season. Don't lose this game.
I think he has to go for it, to be honest. I wouldn't like to see him go up there and, you know, there's only 7 points in it.
Ten's big, though.
Ten is big. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. 10 is big. Double digit lead.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you one thing.
From a Galway point of view, you know, yeah, 7 is nice. It's grand. Do you want to risk cutting it to 4 by going to 10? Do you know? I think this could be cagey. I'm going for a draw. I'm going to go 1-1.
I don't think Galway losing another game. No, do you know what? 1-0 Waterford.
Okay, just to go liven it up. Right, guys, let's go to the big one in the Premier Division. That is the Dublin Derby between Rovers and Bows. And I see already online a bit of shenanigans going on over tickets.
As big as Tala is, there's still grief about tickets, all right. But look, that's part of it. That's what you're going to get for these games. A bit of grief over this type of stuff. But look, that's part of it.
On the pitch, Rovers won the other derby in Dalymount quite comfortably. They're at home here. You'd probably have to expect the same, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't see Bowes laying a finger on them the way Rovers are going at the moment.
It's going to have to be a brilliant defensive display from Bowes.
It will be. They'll have to be really on their game all across the pitch to stop it, because Shamrock Rovers has so many threats across so many areas of the pitch. Cleary, I don't know, I think he's finding him to be a bit of a liability at the moment. Did he give away a penalty on Friday? Is that right? I think he gave away a penalty recently anyway.
You were the one in the country, lad, not me. You tell me.
Lad, you weren't on the moon. You weren't on the moon, okay? But look, I think no matter what way you slice it, I can't see anything other than a comfortable Shamrock Rovers win. I think the way they're going, it's one-way traffic, unfortunately, Bulls fans. 2-0 Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, 2-0 I go as well. Shells against UCD. This is the game that had Duffer in foul humour for days recently, so a chance to right that wrong.
Yeah, I think they've been
plugging away okay.
They've been plugging away okay. Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it. Got the draw on Monday.
UCD won't lie down, though. They've, as we said, shown some encouraging signs over the last few weeks, and they'll take heart from the fact now that they've got a team in their sights. They can see the back of Cork City, at least. They're not running into the distance.
Yeah, exactly. They've been, you know, they're on top of them. Well, not on top of them, but they've been getting closer and closer. And I think, though, Shelburne will just have enough, too much for them. Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 to Shelburne.
Okay, I go 1-0 to Shells. Drogs against Derry. This is a big game for Rory Higgins and Derry City.
It is. And this is going to be a very, very tough one for them. They haven't been free-flowing or good to watch. There's a number of performance, like even I think Adam O'Reilly was getting dug out online a bit as well. The people weren't too happy with his performance. Lots of areas that I'm just not impressed with. You know, even Maher there on Monday, what was he at for Jack Byrne's goal? You know, did you see it?
No.
Ball was kicked over. He went outside the box, out to his left hand side. No need for him to be there whatsoever. Shouldn't have been there at all. And instead of clearing the ball, making it dead, he cleared it back into the middle of the field.
Right, okay.
And Jack Byrne volleyed it in, and Maher was there scampering after, but he wasn't next to near it, and the ball just bounced in, trickled in, and that was 2-0, and that was all she wrote. I think with stuff like that, I know he's a young keeper and all, and he'll learn a lot from that, those types of things, but that's, you know, a basic mistake as well. But for this one, I don't see them shaking off or being able to get out of these poor lethargic performances. I think that Drogheda set up so well against, you know,
my one concern with Drogheda, the amount of games over the last few days, is this going to be one too far?
Gary Deegan got sent off, didn't he?
And just the way they lost that loud derby as well. No, the punch in the gut. This is why I keep mentioning about the hard luck stories. They grind you down, you know. I keep backing Derry, and you know they're burning me, but I'm gonna do it one more time. I'm going back to the well here. 1-0 to Derry.
Is this a kind of, we have to win this? Are we getting to that point?
Rovers win up against Bowes. I mean, they're on a serious, they've got a serious amount of steam behind them, haven't they?
Oh, it's nuclear is what they're on, listen. You know, I know.
And what month are we in?
The month of May.
We all know what happened last season. This is where it went tits up for Derry last year.
So. Well, no, it's tits up already. The tits are up. can they get any more up? That's the point. Probably not. I think they have so much individual quality.
Oh, have
so
I changed your mind here? I thought before I cut in there, you were leaning the way of Drogheda.
No, I wasn't. I don't think Drogheda are going to win this. I was leaning between a draw and Derry.
Right.
2-1 Derry.
Oh, you've caved into the peer
pressure.
Yeah,
you have. Yeah. Come on, Derry.
Cork against Pats. This is a big one for Cork. Obviously, a big one for Pats as well with what's gone on there this week. But Cork need to start showing their fans that little bit more. And it's hard to be confident about them here.
About Cork?
Yeah.
Oh no, there's no confidence. No, none. But I think a lot of the talk about Cork at the moment is the commitment from the players. Have you seen? I've been seeing a lot of that online of late, where there's no, the fans aren't satisfied.
Just gonna come in there, dish. Gary. Actually, I am just seeing online here that Colin Healy has quit as Cork City boss.
Quit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Breaking news in the last few minutes.
Very good. Well, look, there you go. Instant reaction there, guys. Not surprising.
No.
Not surprising. I think, you know, I'm probably the right decision, either between the club and Colin Healy himself. Obviously, he got them up last season quite comfortably. And they were the best team in the division. But I think the big concern is, or my concern was, it's still largely a first division side.
Mm.
And you don't go too far in the Premier Division with a first division team. It's just not the case. Well, so two, have they announced any interim manager?
No, not that I can see. The article's only gone out there on the Irish Examiner in the last couple of minutes. There's no mention of an interim. I might just see it on the Cork City website here, but it's not always handy.
Well, then in that case, then there's two. You know, this is
yeah. managerless derby. Yeah,
managerless derby is right. I think
nothing on their website yet. Funny enough.
Okay, based on that, I'm going to have to go with St. Pat's. You're going to have to go to individual prowess and quality of player, and I think St. Pat's have just far too much in that department, regardless of what's going on the sidelines. I think I'm going to go Pat's 2-1.
It's amazing that story is out before it's there's nothing on the Cork City official channels at the moment about it.
And who was that that reported on the Examiner?
Irish Examiner have it here. Colin Healy quits as Cork City boss. John Fallon, who's obviously a very well respected man. So
yeah, I wouldn't look past that. Yeah, look, it's normal. You kind of always see that there's always a leak of some description. But look, you can't be too surprised at that either.
No, not at all. Look, I'll follow. What score did you go there, guys? Sorry,
2-1 Pats.
You're going 2-1. I don't actually see Cork scoring in this game. I'm going to go 2-0 to St. Pat's. Right, our final game is Sligo against Dundalk.
Oh, God. Two teams I'm constantly unimpressed by.
Dundalk fourth, Sligo fifth. So this is a big game. In terms of the battle for top four finishes, it's a big game.
Yeah, what do you think? You haven't gone to first too many times tonight. I haven't pulled you on it either.
Dundalk have been lucky of late,
to say the least.
And John Russell is talking about wanting to change this perception of Sligo. Well, here's a great chance to go and do it. This is probably the most impossible game to call. Would you agree on that?
I'd be inclined to agree on that. Yeah. So what are we saying? 0-0?
I think we'll get goals.
Really?
Yeah, I think we'll get goals. Do you know what? I'm going to do something I haven't done in a long time. I'm going to I'm going to invest a bit of faith in Sligo here, and I'm going to go 2-1.
Just really?
The comments John Russell has made. Here's your chance. Here's your chance. Go and show us you can back things up.
Oh, no. 2-1 Sligo. Can I see that happening? I don't think so. I don't think they have enough. I think Tullock has played
well. We're flying back from Tralee on Saturday, aren't we? I wonder what the pilot would he be able to swing by Sligo? Is there an airport there anywhere you could drop us off?
Knock.
Wouldn't be too bad. Get a chopper then from there.
The town chopper. The town chopper to bring us up there. I think I don't see this being a very good game. I think it's going to be one of the poorer games of the weekend. Two teams threatening to do stuff, never really doing anything.
Go on, give us a 0-0. I don't think you've given us a 0-0 yet.
Yeah, 0-0. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Look, that
you coaxed me into that, didn't you?
Look, as I said, this is a bit of a bite-sized pod tonight, although I'm not sure I call it nearly an hour and a half bite-sized, but it's a little bit short.
Bite-sized for us.
It is, certainly, yeah. No, look, just with the week that was in it, we didn't really have time to get guests on, but we are working on some big ones for the next couple of weeks. But some interesting...
Were you away?
Some interesting stories obviously developing over the course of the week, and a big story developing tonight down in Cork City as well. So we'll have more reaction on that on next week's show. And I know the whole betting levy debate has been a big one this week as well. So we are working on something for next week's show on that regard as well. And I know we have had that debate on the show as well in the past, but it's very fresh on the agenda at the moment. So look, we'll be back to the normal format of the show next week. But hopefully everyone has enjoyed tonight's show, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Good show. Great to have you back. I never thought I'd see you again. You know, you're a week in Turkey. It seems like a lifetime. But unfortunately, you missed one of Longford Town's best results of the season.
Yeah, well, look, if they don't win on Friday, I think Hendo will probably be keeping me away from things for the next while. And you probably couldn't blame him either.
No, absolutely not. At least then he wouldn't have to listen to you after the game or before the game either. So
that's true, yeah. You probably should just keep me away anyway, regardless of the results, even if we're in the Champions League.
There you go. I think someone needs to write it down. Shamrock Rovers Champions League group stages by 2030.
Yeah, that's the quote of the night, definitely. Actually, before I let you go, can I just show you the first division team of the week?
Yeah, I just seen it there.
It's great to see you absolutely plastered with Town players this week. We've got Brady, Elworthy, Dervin, and Mo Boudiaf, who, fair play to him, he got the winner against Galway, but the poor chap went off after 20 minutes, and I think he only came on for the last 20 minutes against Harps. So,
yeah.
And Henderson is the manager of the weekend there as well. So,
yeah, well, that's fair enough, but Boudiaf did get the goal, the all-important goal to win the game for the Town, but how does that get you into a team of the week when there was a week with two games on?
Another punditless team of the week, by the way.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think I said before, you wonder, we're not probably big enough deals in the league here, too biased towards Longford Town, so that's probably not why. Well,
yeah, I probably would have looked the same anyway, wouldn't it? There would have been at least five.
Yeah, every week Town lose. Five Town players in the team.
Victor Serenyuk will be the captain every week.
Nailed on. Yeah. That fella is a baller.
Look, I'll see you in Dublin Airport for the breakfast on Friday.
Absolutely, looking forward to it.
That'll do. Gary, thanks a million. Listeners, thanks a million. We'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.